Good morning, everybody. Just got a few notices. First off, pastoral notices. Jenny Milner is still in Epsom Hospital, but she has had her operation. But she'll be in hospital at least over this weekend. Anne McFarlane is recovering at home, and she would welcome phone calls if anyone wants to ring her. And Margaret Fiskin is still in Tolworth Hospital. Other news, the church news is available to collect this morning. The alternative greeting card, if you've lost your docket for that, there will be some spare ones in the Mayo Hall between services this morning. And today is the day that we would like to get them all, please. And you can see Denise or Barbara if you need to. I just want to remind you that Kathy will be collecting a cheque for £260 from Waitrose for our Christmas lunch, and we still need some people to offer on the day and also preparation for that meal. Finally, the 24 hours of prayer will start at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, just to confuse you all and see if you're awake. We'll start at 9 a.m. on Wednesday and go till 9 a.m. on Thursday. If anybody has a topic that they think it would be good for us to pray about, could they please put it on this board, which I will leave probably on that little table there, or if not, see me afterwards. And if anybody still wants to lead an hour of that, please see Leslie about it. And otherwise, please pop in. We don't expect people to stay for 24 hours, so just pop in when you can. I think that's it for this morning. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We'll start our service by celebrating the love of God by joining together in this hymn. Beloved, let us love one another. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In this was the love of God made known among us. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. If God thus loved us, we ought also to love one another. If we love one another, God himself dwells in us. There is no fear in love. Love bears everything, believes everything. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor anything else in creation, we join to sing Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes. This is Advent Sunday. It's the beginning of the church's year and the time when we begin to prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And here are an invocation about the season and looking forward. I look from afar, and lo, I see the power of God coming, and a cloud covering the whole earth. Go ye out to meet him and say, tell us, art thou he that should come to reign over thy people Israel? High and low, rich and poor, one with another, go out to meet him and say, hear, O thou shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a sheep, tell us, art thou he that should come? Stir out thy strength, O Lord, and come to reign over thy people Israel. Lord, you are great and greatly to be praised. Awaken us to delight in your praises, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. O God, you have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. Shed forth continual day upon those who watch for your coming, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations may give you glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. we join together in the traditional collect for Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which thy Son, Jesus Christ, came in humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Steve is now going to lead the part of the service which is addressed particularly to the children, but not only to the children, as I think we've experienced over the last weeks. And following that, we're going to be singing the first verse of a candle song which has been written by Sulhi Kim and the young people, and the plan is that we're going to sing one verse of each of the of this new song. It has four verses on the four Sundays of Advent, and we're going to progressively light the candles which lead up to Christmas Day. And so today we'll be singing the first verse of this new song. And Nigel is going to lead that when we come to it. I've asked him to play the tune, which is a new tune, newly composed, twice through, and listen very carefully, and I'm sure we'll be able to manage it. Thank you, and now Steve.
Can you hear me? When we go somewhere, excuse me, we always have to pack things and be prepared. And I know where my grandchildren go to school, they go with a large bag. Do you have a school bag, Dahi? Right, well, you have the bag. Come out here. That's your pretend school bag. Right, now, do you have a lunchbox in your bag? Right, pop it in the bag. Do you have a pencil case? I'm getting it right. Good. Do you have water bottle? Right, three down, we're doing well. Do you have a reading book? Okay, and last of all, perhaps not in your bag, but do you take with you sometimes a nice warm pair of gloves? No, oh, right, okay, you've obviously got strong hands. Now, you're all ready to go to school. Have I missed anything out? Is there anything else you take? You take a diary. Oh, that's very grown up. Right, but some of these things we could use for getting ready for Christmas.
And as Ken said, today's Advent Sunday, and that's the first day when we really think about Christmas. Now, not this book, this is James and the Giant Peach, but what book could we look at ready for Christmas? There's one up there brought in today. What about a Bible? Or a book of Bible stories? That's where we'd find out about Christmas, isn't it? Right. And how could we use the pencils and pens in this case? Writing. What could we write about Christmas, or who could we write to tell people that Christmas is coming? Letters, or what else do we send lots of at Christmas? Christmas cards. You could use the pens. Now, this might be a little bit more tricky. What could we use the food and the water for? Keep you going, keep you nice and healthy, that's important. But Jesus said we should give things to other people. Perhaps if we know somebody who's a bit hungry or somebody who's thirsty, we could do what Jesus said and give them water. So, that's really a slightly different way. Lots of people get Christmas presents and they're busy shopping and rushing around, and I'm just as bad as everybody else. But we do have to remember that Christmas is about God, in particular about Jesus. And in this church, every Sunday, as Ken said, we light a candle to remind us that Jesus was born probably in Bethlehem, possibly in Bethlehem, but born for us. Now, are you tall enough? Is it going to light? Oh, nearly. Way. Don't blow the candle. Well done. And I think now we're going to sing the song. Oh! No, it's gone. Do you want to start the song again? This could take some time. Let's try a different one. It's getting down to my fingers. Don't blow, whatever you do. You can blow that one, quick. Right. Technology can go wrong, but so can the simple things.
Nigel, please. Thank you. well done. And by the fourth Sunday, it will be going with a real swing. Thank you. We're now joined to sing our next hymn, When All Thy Mercies, O My God. Our first reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah and will be read to us by John Fisher.
Isaiah chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. This is the message which God gave to Isaiah, son of Amoz, about Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain where the temple stands will be the highest one of all, towering above all the hills. Many nations will come streaming to it, and their people will say, "Let us go up to the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God." He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. He will settle disputes among the great nations. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Now, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light which the Lord gives us.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and Bron Robinson is going to read it to us.
The second reading is taken from Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. No one knows, however, when that day and hour will come, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son. The Father alone knows. The coming of the Son of Man will be like what happened in the time of Noah. In the days before the flood, people ate and drank, men and women married, up to the very day Noah went into the boat. Yet they did not realize what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes. At that time, two men will be working in a field. One will be taken away, the other will be left behind. Two women will be at a mill grinding meal. One will be taken away, the other will be left behind. Be on your guard then, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. If the owner of a house knew the time when the thief would come, you can be sure that he would stay awake and not let the thief break into his house. So then, you also must always be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you are not expecting him.
It's Advent Sunday. It's the beginning of the church's year, and it will lead us through to Christmas. One of my memories of the Advent is from a film, I think it was one of the Thomas Hardy films, with a boy running across, going to school, trying to remember the Advent carol. And he said, "Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness." And then he got stuck and started again. And so that was quite a vivid memory of that, of the preparation for Advent. The theme of Advent is the need to keep awake. Awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now is the moment for you to wake from sleep. The night is far gone. The day is near. The words of Paul echo the warning of Jesus. Keep awake, because you do not know the day on which your Lord is coming. We have, I think, no difficulty nowadays in identifying with the underlying theme of warning and of crisis, individually, nationally, and as an inhabited planet, we live in perilous times. Global challenges include climate change, a crisis about food production, overpopulation, the decimation of other species, epidemic disease, and the acidification of the oceans. And for ourselves, the refugee immigration situation raises a question. Are we actually right to jealously guard the national borders of our developed nation of great wealth when we see people outside starving and in despair? How should we actually respond? The temptation is to go for isolation. Archbishop Welby has written, "We must now unite in a common task to build a generous and forward-thinking country, contributing to human flourishing around the world. We must remain hospitable and compassionate builders of bridges and not barriers." And those same questions raise issues about how we think about ourselves and this community of the Kingston United Reformed Church, to which we all belong. What's the common purpose and bond which holds us together? Today, we are thinking, amongst other things, about the way in which we must support our church with money. And that's not just a financial question. Fundamentally, it's about our identity. How do we think about ourselves and the way in which we relate to the place in which we live? Where are we personally heading? What sign do we want our church to offer to the people who are outside our community? What sign do we hope that they will gather about our values and our hopes for Kingston and for our country? And the answer to those questions will determine our decisions about what we give. So it's not primarily a financial question. It's a question about who we are and what we are committed to. And in thinking about our identity as Christians, the words of the grace came into my mind. We all know them well. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. The words speak to me first personally. The grace of Christ is about a passion for justice. It's about openness to all people. It's about compassion and gentleness with the weak and wounded, and the sacrificial offering of Christ himself as the grounds of our hope. And then the love of God is about the unbounded generosity which surrounds me and which I've done nothing to earn. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is about the one who floods the private sanctuary of my own heart, disturbing me, but also bringing me joy and new life. So the grace is addressed to me, but it's not only addressed to me, it's addressed to all in our church. So we say it to each other. We remind us of what we share. It's a kind of mutual blessing. And then the grace is not even limited just to me or to our community. It's our message to people outside the world and ultimately to the whole world. It's about what underpins human nature and what are the foundations of the good life? They're indeed the values represented by the grace of Christ, by the generosity of God, and the universal experience which people have of the Spirit. Archbishop Helder Camara described this universal experience in these terms. Whenever in the world there are human creatures hungering and thirsting to love and help, trying to overcome self-centeredness, escaping from self, caring for their neighbors, listening to the voice of conscience, striving to do good, the Spirit of God is with them. In my Father's house, we shall meet Buddhists and Jews, Muslims and Protestants, even a few Catholics, said the Catholic Archbishop. So we are the community formed by the grace of Jesus, by the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. And in that community, we find a faith to live by and to keep us going. The foundation of that faith is the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And because of that, we have a hope to offer the world, particularly when the news is unremittingly bad. In the letter of Peter, the author wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, by the resurrection of Jesus, he gave us new birth into a living hope." When people do not know where to turn and are inclined to despair, we have a message of hope to proclaim. And this is not based on the state of the world. Indeed, how could it be? Our faith is based on the goodness and power of the one whom we worship as God. As Václav Havel, the former president of Czechoslovakia, wrote, "Hope is not the conviction that things will turn out well, but the certainty that things make sense." What makes sense for us, using the account of what happened to Jesus as the way in which we interpret how we respond to the contingency of the world. Jesus lived and died in the belief that God will vindicate him. And the faith which we live is part of that vindication. If the first message of Advent is about keeping awake, the second is about keeping hope, the proclamation that there is hope in the world despite everything that we see around us. And we can do with a message of hope at this particular time. We base our lives on things that are beyond the contingencies of the present time. Hope for us is a state of mind. It's independent of the state of the world. It's a state of mind which comes from our faith. It's infinitely precious. It enables us to dare to say yes to the vision of Isaiah given in the first reading. He said, "The word of the Lord has the power to arbitrate for many peoples, so that nations will not lift up sword against nation or learn war anymore." So we are the people who have received the grace of Christ. We believe that everything we are and everything we have comes from the boundless generosity and love of God. The God whom we worship, we do not fully comprehend. that he is the one we meet in our hearts and minds on our life journey. Our giving stems from who we are. It's first of all an act of thanksgiving and gratitude for the goodness of our lives. But our church, we know, is also reliant on individual giving to fund many services and facilities, youth work, groups, support for our members and friends, support for the local community, and a number of charities. Our work is a sign of hope and the values we want to offer to the local community in Kingston. And last of all, but not least, at a time when values which have long been taken for granted are now under attack, we want our voice to be heard so that we remain a generous and forward-thinking people, hospitable and compassionate, builders of bridges and not barriers. I believe that this is the context for deciding our response to the financial needs of our church. We are grateful for the generous support that you, our members and friends, have given. And we now ask that we all take time to review what we give, not essentially as a financial transaction, but as an act of renewed commitment to that mission which we all share and which unites us. Keep silence for a moment or two. We join to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." God our Father, we bring to you our prayers for ourselves, for our friends and neighbours, for the place where we live, and for all the peoples of the world. Enable us to share your generosity with all people. Forgiving ourselves, being generous to others, and supporting those in need. Show us also how we can convey the values of your truth to the people who live in this area, so that we may be a sign of your salvation. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for people in our congregation who are in need of our particular prayers at this time. In the silence, we remember particular people who are of concern to us. The Lord hears our prayer. Thanks be to God. We pray for the leaders of our country, for the difficulty of using the money available to meet all the priorities which are pressing upon them. Give wisdom to our leaders. Enable them to work with integrity and to set aside sectional interests in the pursuit of the interests of all people. We remember especially today the situation in funding care in social services, and particularly for older people. We bring before you a situation where there is a funding crisis for people who live in residential homes. Finally, we pray for ourselves that we may be given a fresh vision of your gospel, that we may share in the joy of the preparation for Christmas, and that we may use this time for reflection on our own priorities and the direction of our lives. Prayer of assurance. God our Father, enable us to go into the world in peace, to be of good courage, to hold fast to that which is good,